With Easter season coming up, I feel like I've got a responsibility as your pastor to prepare you for this season. And we have been given a mission on earth. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about your mission on planet earth and help you understand what this whole Easter season is about, because Easter is the only reason we're here today. We're not here today because Jesus lived a good life. We're not here today because Jesus had a lot of good things to say and he was a good teacher. We're not here today because Jesus started a religion. The only reason we're here today is because Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. If that was not true, Christianity would have never survived the first century. See, what's different between Christianity and every other world religion is every other world religion makes sense. They're remarkable stories. You can study Islam, you can study Buddhism, remarkable stories, but if you look at how they began, it makes sense logically. You can understand how the religion got off the ground and how it survived and how it was built. When you study Christianity, talk to any historian or academic, it makes absolutely no sense. There's no logical reason why Christianity survived the first century. It doesn't make any sense at all. The only conclusion you can come up with is Jesus was who he said he was, and he actually did raise from the dead, which is the whole story of Easter. That is the only reason we are here today. And I need to help you as your pastor understand the mission that you have been given as a result of that historic event that took place 2,000 years ago. Remember the movie Mission Impossible? This is your mission if you choose to accept it. You've been given a mission if you choose to accept it. See, there's two things that we know from God. God created each of us, number one, to have a ministry in our church family. We talk a lot about that. That's what we do with the Dream Team, the way we serve one another. Peter said, use your gift to serve one another. We all have a place in our church family to serve, meaning if you're part of Coastline Church, you have chores to do. You've got responsibility. In my home, in my personal life, in my home, I have responsibility to my family. There's certain things that Amanda is responsible for. There's certain things my son is responsible for. And there's certain things in our home that I'm responsible for. All of us have a ministry to our family. But in addition to our ministry, God has also given all of us a mission in the world. We have a mission that we have been called to. In my personal family, again, I have a mission for my family. I go to work every week to provide for my family. That is my mission. So I have a ministry in my family, a place where I serve my family, but I also have a mission to provide for my family. As a believer, we have both. You have both responsibilities. You have a ministry to your family. You have chores to do. You have responsibility to other believers. That's clear in Scripture. We talk a lot about that. But you also have a mission outside of the church, a mission on planet Earth that God has given you, and you need both. You need both. So here's number one. What is my mission on Earth? What is this mission you're talking about? What is it all about? Well, Paul says it like this in Acts chapter 20. Paul says the most important thing. And he's not just talking about him personally, he's talking about all followers of Jesus Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, here's the most important thing. The most important thing for you, the most important thing for me, the most important thing for Paul, the most important thing for every follower of Jesus Christ is that I complete my mission. You and I have been given a mission. Here's your mission if you choose to accept the work that the Lord Jesus gave me. What is that work? To tell people the good news about God's grace. That is our mission. That is the most important thing in your life. The most important thing is that you complete your mission, which is to tell people the good news, more important than getting your kids to college, more important than building your retirement, more important than any business success. Your mission is to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus says it like this, you will be my witnesses. Witnesses to the ends of the earth. A witness is simply somebody who shares their side of the story. I want you to notice that Jesus did not say, you'll be my salesman. He doesn't need you to be a, he doesn't need you to sell him for him. He's fine. He can do that on his own. Your job is not to sell him to people. It doesn't say, you will be my defense attorney. He doesn't need you to defend him. It doesn't say you'll be my prosecutor. He doesn't need you to go prosecute people. It doesn't say you'll be my judge. He doesn't need you to go judge people. He says you will be my witness. And here's the beauty of that. Nobody on planet Earth is a better witness on your life than you. You are an expert on your life. There's nobody who is a greater authority on you than you, which means you're perfectly qualified to be a witness. And a witness is somebody who simply shares what God has done in my life. So do you have to be a Bible scholar to be a witness? No. Do you have to have been a Christian for at least 20 years to be a witness? No. Do you have to live a perfect life and never sin to be a witness? No. All you have to do to be a witness is say, this is what happened to me. And that's all God is looking for, is witnesses. People who will simply share their side of the story, which means you are perfectly qualified to be a witness. You don't have to know the Bible to be a witness. All you have to do is share your side of the story. And this is part of your job description as a Christian. And it's not optional, it is required. Think about it. You would not even be here today if somebody hadn't shared Jesus with you, right? You wouldn't be sitting here today if somebody had not shared Jesus with you. Now it's your turn to tell other people. Paul says in Romans, through Christ, all the kindness of God has been poured out upon us, undeserving sinners. And now he's sending us. He's sending us. He's sending you and he's sending I around the world to do what? To tell people everywhere the great things God has done for them. God has done great things for you. Why? So that they too will believe and obey him. So what do? You don't argue with people. You don't hit them over the head with the Bible. You don't turn or burn. You're going to go to hell. No. You simply go out as witnesses and say, hey, this is what happened in my life. And again, nobody's a better authority on your life than you, which means you're the best, most qualified, expert witness you can possibly be. Because you're not there to defend Christianity. You're not there to sell people Jesus. You're simply there to share your side of the story. So number two, why is my mission so important? Why is this such a big deal? Why can't I just be a selfish Christian? Why can't I just come to church and learn how to be a better person and have a better marriage and take care of me and my family and, you know, learn some good things? Why can't I just come and get what I can get out of it? Why do I got to tell people? Why do I got to be on mission? Why can't I just get what I need to get out of it and live a good life and be on my way? Why can't I do that? Well, first, it's because you've been given a life-saving message. It's not just a life-changing message. It is a life-saving message. It is the greatest news in the world. Paul says, again, in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of it. Why? Because it's the power God uses to save. To save. He wants to save people. This is a life-saving message. Save everyone who believes. So how do people become believers? There's only one way. They have to hear the good news first. Doesn't it make sense to you that if they don't hear the good news, they can't be saved? If they don't hear about Jesus, they can't respond to him. So the real question today is, who are you taking to heaven with you? Who's going to be in heaven because of your life? You've been given the greatest news in the world. Have you been sharing it with the people around you? Is anybody going to walk up to you in heaven and say, I want to thank you. I'm here because of you. Or are you keeping it a big secret? Look, if I had the cure for AIDS, if I had the cure for Alzheimer's, if I had the cure for any life threatening disease, if I had the cure, I'd be shouting it from the rooftops. I'd be telling it on the streets. I would do anything possible to get the message out so I could save as many people from death as possible. Do you realize we have a greater message than that? We've been given an even more important message. And again, it's not just life-changing, it's life-saving. And the Bible says what God uses is your witness, not your Bible knowledge, not your education. It says God uses your witness. That is the power he uses to get people into heaven. You simply sharing your side of the story. And you've got to know this morning that there are eternal consequences at stake. Your life. Your life means life or death for somebody else. Your life means heaven or hell for someone else. The Bible calls us watchmen. The Bible says we're a watchman on the tower. And if you see an invading army coming in to destroy a city and you fail to warn the people, their blood is on your hands. But if you warn the people and they refuse to listen, their blood is on their own hands. So the question today is, whose blood is on your hands? Who are you failing to warn? Who needs this message in your life? And here's why it's such a big deal. We're going to live forever. You and I will live forever. Like, this body will decay and rot in the ground somewhere, but as a human being, God gave us a spirit, and our spirit will live on. And your spirit will live on in one of two places, heaven or hell. There's no third option. And if you know Christ, if you've given your life to Jesus and surrendered and submitted and put your faith and trust and hope in Jesus, then the Bible says you're going to heaven. And what you need to understand about hell is hell was not created for people. The Bible says hell was created for the devil and his demons. But hell had to be enlarged because of people's rejection of God. So if you say, I don't want you, God, I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to give you my life. I don't want to do it your way. God says, okay, you're going to break my heart. You're going to break my heart, but I will allow you to live without me for eternity. So God doesn't send people to hell. They choose it by rejecting heaven. That's a question I get a lot as a pastor. How could a loving God send someone to hell? That's the wrong question to ask. The right question is, why would a loving God force people into heaven? How could a loving God kidnap somebody against their will and force them to live for all of eternity with him in heaven? That's not love. Love has to have a choice. And look, I know some people say, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, that doesn't make it any less real. I mean, you and I know plenty of people who believe things that are not true. Like, I can stand up here today and say, I don't believe in Disneyland, but that doesn't make it go away. Like, it's still there. And the Bible says, I've given you this good news. And the good news is nobody has to go to hell if we'll share the message. And the greatest joy in life is first finding and knowing Christ and having a friendship with him. And the second greatest joy is helping other people into God's family. Paul says again in Romans 1, this good news tells us, good news that we've been given, this historic event, that the event of Easter tells us that God makes us ready for heaven. God wants to make people ready forever, and he makes us right in God's sight when we put our faith and our trust in Christ. I'm telling you, the good news keeps getting better and better because the world's news keeps getting worse and worse. And we've been given this life-saving message, and we cannot keep it a secret. We cannot hold it on. We've got to share it. We got to share it with our family. We have to share it with our friends. We have to share it with our coworkers. We have to share it with our neighbors. We got to share it with people we don't even know. The person that checks us out every week at the grocery store, we've got to share it. Everybody deserves to hear about Jesus. And here's the second reason it's so important, because people are desperate to hear it. People are desperate to hear this message. They need it desperately. Jesus puts it like this: when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them. His heart was broken for them. Why? Because they were hurting and they were helpless. They were hurting and they were helpless. Jesus, this was written 2,000 years ago. Things haven't changed a whole lot, have they? people are still hurting and they're still helpless. They're still stressed out and they don't know what to do about it. Let me ask you, is there anyone right now in your sphere of influence that happens to be stressed out, dealing with anxiety, depression, and they don't know what to do about it? And we live in this world where we're constantly looking for a cure, we're constantly looking for fulfillment, and only one person has the power to change a life, and that's Jesus. And you need to know the world is far more ready to hear about Jesus than I think most Christians are ready to share it. And the reason is we've bought into this lie. Satan has fed us this myth that people that I work with, people that I live next door to, aren't interested in spiritual matters. And if I bring it up, they'll be upset with me. And there's nothing further from the truth. You're dead wrong. Every single poll in America, the Gallup poll, the Barna poll, every poll says Americans are intensely interested in spiritual matters like never before. Look at all the movies on the supernatural. Look at all the movies on the Bible. Exodus, Noah. People are realizing, look, I've got the money and I've got the house and I've arrived. I have the wife and the kids and the husband and I've got my retirement all set and I've got some toys and why am I not happy? It took my parents 20 to 30 years longer to get where I'm at. Why am I not fulfilled? You got to understand, we're not trying to convince people who have absolutely no interest in spiritual issues. They're waiting. They're waiting for somebody to say, did you know that you can be friends with Jesus? That Jesus wants to offer you eternal life and he has a purpose for you here on earth. We've got all the answers for the world's need. But see, the problem isn't the harvest. The problem is the labor shortage. Jesus in this verse goes on to say to his followers, there are many people to harvest. There are people who are hurting and they're helpless and they're hungry. But the problem is there's only a few workers to help harvest them. Why? Because we have a lot of Christians who aren't saying anything. We have a lot of Christians who aren't sharing. We got people all around us and we're doing nothing about it. Why do you think CNN is doing a series right now called Finding Jesus if people weren't interested? They've got researchers and marketers who are polling America to find out what people want to know so that they'll watch their network over other networks. They're not doing this accidentally. People want answers, and we have them. And yet, we got a lot of Christians who still think to themselves, I don't think anyone's interested in spiritual things with, you know, where I work. They wouldn't be putting this stuff on CNN if people weren't interested. And the happiest people that I know in my life are the people who regularly share Jesus Christ with those around them. And the key is compassion. We've got to love people. We've got to see them the way God sees them. We've got to love people. Until you start caring about the people around you, you're probably not going to say a whole lot. Some of you this week, you're going to have a tough conversation with a longtime friend. You need to go to a friend and you need to apologize. And say, look, you've been my best friend for 30 years. And unfortunately, I've never talked to you about the most important thing in my life. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? And very likely, they're going to say, what are you talking about? And you've got them. You got them on the hook. And you just tell them, look, I've never told you about my friendship with Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry. Because it's the most important thing in my life. And I was afraid that if I talked about it with you, you'd think I was some weird freak or nut. But it is the most important thing in my life. And I need to tell you this good news. And do it naturally. Like, don't beat them up or Bible thump them or pound them. Just do it naturally. Again, just say, here's what happened to me. Here's what God did in my life. Let me ask you about your compassion level. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 meaning I could care less if people burn in hell. 10 meaning I am driven to share Jesus with every person I meet so that they could experience God and go to heaven for all of eternity. And on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel about the people you work with? Where's your compassion level at? Your coworkers, What about your next door neighbor? People live on your street. What about friends and family members? Scale of 1 to 10, where are you at? The person that checks you out at the grocery store every week, 1 to 10, where are you at? Let's pray, God, give me a compassion for people. Let me see them through your eyes. So question number three, or third point, how can I fulfill my mission? How do I do it? Well, let me give you three practical ideas to make you a more effective missionary. Because here's the thing, you are a missionary. When you said yes to Jesus, you signed up to be a missionary. I don't know what you thought you were getting into, but I'm telling you the truth right now. When you made a decision to follow Jesus, your responsibility then became to tell others. You are a missionary. You don't go to Africa to be a missionary. You go to work Monday morning to be a missionary. You go home to your neighborhood to be a missionary. You didn't buy that home on accident. Like you thought you and your wife looked at 10 homes and you narrowed it down by the features you liked and the features you didn't like and the area of town it was, and you kind of like narrowed it down and you chose this home because that's what you... No. That didn't happen like that at all. God divinely orchestrated you picking that home. Why? Because he placed you there to be a missionary to your neighbors. That wasn't you, that was God. You are a missionary. It's not an accident. You have the skill set you have and got the job that you have. God placed you in that workplace as a missionary. So how do I fulfill my mission? Let me give you three practical ideas. First off, do quality work. Be the best. Be above average. Below average, shoddy work is a poor testimony for Christ. Quality work, being excellent, is a great testimony for God when people know why. And I'm telling you, work will take on a whole new meaning when you see yourself as a representative of Jesus Christ. Here's the way Paul puts it. Whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you do, work, whatever you say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. You go to work Monday as a representative of the Lord Jesus. You're not going to work just to provide for your family and get your kids through college. You're going to work, whatever you do, as a representative of the Lord Jesus. So here's the question. What comes first, do or say? What comes first, do or say? Do. Do. You've got to walk the walk before you talk the talk. And you can't be talking about Jesus if you're doing below average, barely get by, poor quality work. But at the same time, people got to know why. We want to be visual Christians, but we also have to be verbal Christians. And I know some people who think the first is enough, that what I do, that's enough. I've actually heard this. My witness is my life. I don't talk about Jesus at work. I just try to be a really good Christian at work. Do you realize how arrogant and egotistical that is? I just tried to be a good, I don't have to say anything, I just tried to be a good Christian. In essence, what you're saying is, I live such a perfect life that when people look at me, they automatically fall at the feet of Lord Jesus and surrender their life to him. Just by my very actions, people think, I need Christ. Let me ask you, is that happening in your workplace? Can I say, even Jesus was perfect and he still had to tell people? Think about that. You need to say, it's because. Second, by maintaining a positive attitude. We live in such a negative, sarcastic, demeaning world that people who are positive in spite of all the jerks, they stand out. They shine bright. Paul says in Philippians, do everything without complaining or arguing. And here's what will happen. You're going to shine like stars among them in the world. The world is dark. It's negative. It's sarcastic. It's rude. It's mean. And when you do everything without complaining and arguing, you're going to shine bright. And you'll get the opportunity to share Jesus with people. And I know some of you are thinking, man, it's so hard to be positive at my workplace. You can't even imagine how negative it is there if you only knew. I have even heard some people say, I wish I could just work with all Christians. If I could just work with Christians, I wouldn't have to put up with all the vulgar, negative, dirty jokes, filthy language. Can I tell you, a few cuss words aren't going to hurt you? Like, if you hear a cuss word, it's not going to stay in your ears. God is saying, if you want to work with only Christians, you're missing the point. God doesn't want you to work with only Christians. God wants you working with those nasty, mean, evil pagans out there. And it's not going to hurt you to hear a dirty joke and walk away. It's not going to hurt you to be in a negative environment. Remember what Jesus said? It's not what goes in you that defiles you. It's what comes out of you that defiles you. If you start working with only Christians, you're going to defeat your life mission. You're going to miss the whole point of what God left you on earth to do. And then finally, by talking out loud to others about the good news. Paul says in Colossians, make the most of your chances to tell. To tell, not to show, to tell others the good news. You need to show it, but you also need to tell it. Be wise in all your contacts with them. Let your conversation be gracious as well as sensible. You've got to tell them. You've got to talk about your faith. It's got to be out loud. You know, I hear people say, well, my faith is a private thing. False. Not if you're a Christian, it's not. We were called to live out loud. It was never intended to be private. Jesus died publicly, and he asked us to share him publicly. And in fact, Jesus said, if you're afraid to talk about me publicly, I'm not going to talk about you to my Father. That's a bad place to be. Look, it's my job to equip you for your life mission. So here's what I want to do. On the back page of your notes, I encourage everyone to do this with me. I got a little spiritual tool for you that Rick Warren created. It's awesome. It's simply how to establish a spiritual base for your life. And there's a lot of benefits to this. We're actually creating little kind of a credit card version of this so that you can keep in your wallet and share this with people. You can actually take this now and share it as is or kind of recreate it on your own. This is the easiest way to share the good news. And there's some advantages. It's simple and to the point. It only takes a couple minutes. There's no theological terms in this thing, so it's easy to understand. It's simply four yes or no questions. And so here's how to use it. Next time you're talking to somebody at work or a neighbor in your community, and they talk about anything they're going through in life, any difficult situation, challenging situation, again, big or small, this is all you need to say. You need to say, you know what? I ran across something that has really helped me kind of establish a spiritual base foundation for my life so that when I go through situations like this, I just got a foundation to stand on. Do you mind if I share it with you? How many people do you think are going to say no to that? If you handled it that way, especially if they're going through a challenge, if you just say, hey, there's something that's really helped me, do you mind if I share it with you? I'm telling you, maybe 1 out of 10, 1 out of 20 people will say no to you. The majority of people say, yeah, I need any help I can get right now. And so here's the tips. When you do this with them, make sure they can see it. Make sure you can both look at it as you take them through. Basically, you read each of the statements, and then you ask them 4 yes or no questions. If they answer yes, move on to the next point. If they answer no, just say to them, do you mind if I get you some more information on that one to help you clarify your decision? And then talk to your small group leader. Talk to one of the staff, and we'll make sure we get you information for whatever kind of letter they're stuck on. But here's the thing. Everybody wants a spiritual foundation in their life, a base. So here's how you do it. You just get the card out with them. Let me show you something that's really helped me. It's helped me build a foundation, spiritual foundation, a base in my life. Here's letter B. Believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and came back to life. That's the message of Easter, and the majority of Americans believe that. And again, you're not talking to people who aren't interested. The world today is very interested. And then you ask them the question, do you believe that? Do you believe that to be true? Most people believe that to be true. That, again, is the message of Easter. And then there's a scripture to support it. By this gospel, you're saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. And here's the word, the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day. And then you move to the next letter, A. Accept God's free forgiveness for my sins. Accept God's free forgiveness for my sins. Are you willing to do that? Do you want this free gift? You don't have to be a good person. It's not about, you know, living, like earning it. You just accept it's free. It's forgiveness for the sins of our life. And then the scripture to support it. Now, God says he'll accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty. That's awesome. Not guilty if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we all can be saved. All of us, no matter who we are, in this same way, by coming to Christ. And I love this, no matter who we are or what we have been like, which means nobody's beyond his grace. And then we move to letter S, switch. Switch to God's plan. This is where you say, man, this is what really helped me. This is what made the biggest difference in my life. Switch to God's plan for my life instead of running my own plan. I'm telling you, when I switch to God's plan, that's, again, you're a witness. You're sharing your side of the story. Are you willing to do that? Two great verses to support it. Turn, switch from the life you're living now and act on this glorious news. Like, this is good news. And what's the good news? Jeremiah puts it best. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Here's God's plan for your life. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then you say, and here's how to do it. Here's how to establish the base. It's letter E. Express my desire for Christ to be the director, the manager, and the boss of my life. Are you willing to do that? This is how you establish the base. This is how you build that foundation. Are you willing to express? Paul says it like this in Romans, "For if you tell, if you express, if you do it out loud with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord," which means manager, it means boss, it means CEO, "and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And if they're willing to say yes to all four, then you just lead them in a simple prayer of establishing their base, and the prayer is there. In fact, in a crowd like this today, I know that there's people, as I was taking you through this, you realize you need to establish that base in your life. Like, you're here this morning and you need to establish the spiritual base in your life. You need to express your faith in Jesus. You need to put your hope and trust in him. And so as I'm teaching our church how to lead somebody in this simple prayer, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say this prayer in your heart as I'm teaching our church how to lead somebody. And right when you say that prayer, you're building a spiritual foundation, a base in your life. And then you just sit with them and you say, "Let's just pray this together. Just say this together with me out loud." And again, if you're here and you need to build this base, right now as I'm reading this prayer with our church to teach them, I want you to actually pray it. I want you to actually pray it. "Dear God, I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins so I can be forgiven. Forgive me for my sin, and I want to live the rest of my life the way you want me to. Please put your spirit in my life and direct me. Amen." That process takes a couple minutes. And here's one of the hangups we have. We think that we've got to logically help people figure all this out. You don't understand that this is a supernatural thing. As you're walking them through this, like, we've got this fear that, okay, am I doing it right? Am I making sense? You don't understand. As you're walking them through this, the Holy Spirit is ministering to their spirit. That's why I have the easiest job in the world, because the Bible says God draws all people unto himself. All we do is open our mouth and make ourselves available, and God will use you. Like, you think, well, what if they don't, what if they think this is corny or doesn't make sense? I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is doing something behind the scenes that you can't see as you're making yourself available, and you'll be amazed at how effective this is. You'll be amazed at how powerful it is and how it's not weird, it's not pushy. If you approach the process, you'll be bringing so many people into God's family. Jesus made this so clear that so nobody, had to, struggle to figure it out or understand it. And the greatest thing we can do is help somebody to know Christ. It's the greatest mission on earth. It is the most important thing that you and I have been given to do. I challenge you. Accept the mission that we've been given. And pray this, God, use me. Just this week, pray, God, use me. Cause natural circumstances to come into my life where I can help people know you. And here's what will happen. If you pray that, if you just say, God, create some natural circumstances, this week you're going to have opportunities to do this. So keep the notes handy. I'm telling you, and you'll know when those moments are. You'll think to yourself, this is that. God just opened the door. Because tomorrow morning at work, someone's going to come into your office and say, man, I'm just going through something. And you're going to be like, oh, this is what my pastor said would happen. I'm telling you, if you begin to pray, God, create natural circumstances, he will. And there's no greater cause. We need to have that desire. God, help me start caring for my neighbors. Help me start caring for my coworkers. Help me start caring for friends and family who don't know you. Because one day you're going to stand before God. You're going to stand before God, and God's going to ask you, who else did you bring? I want you to think about yourself in that moment when you're standing before God and God says, who else did you bring? You said that you loved me. You said that you loved me. Who else did you bring? Look, when I got engaged to my wife, I told everybody. Like, the next morning, I probably text messaged 100 people the next morning when I got engaged. I told everyone. Why? Because I loved her. I wanted everyone to hear the news. I was loud and proud. I wanted everyone to know. And we've had a lot of weddings recently in our church. And believe me, the couples have wanted everyone to know. It's all over social media. Photo, 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 photo. They're not ashamed at all that they just got married. Like, they're not keeping it a secret. They're being loud and proud about their marriage. What would happen if I went to my wife and said, you know what? Let's get married, but let's keep it a secret. Let's not tell anybody we got married. I mean, no, there'd be no commitment to that at all. And yet, how many people are treating Jesus that way? Let's just keep this a secret, Jesus. Let's not tell anybody. I'll live for you, but let's just keep it a secret. It doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way with my wife. It doesn't work that way with Jesus. So here's your homework. I want you this week to make a list of 3 people that don't know Christ. 3 people. And just step one, start praying for them. Just start praying that God will create a natural opportunity. Pray that natural opportunity, and he will. And just start praying for them. In 2 weeks is Easter. Start praying for the right opportunity to invite them. Say, hey, I'll be at the 11:15 or 9:30 or 8. Why don't you join me? I'll meet you in the cafe. We'll grab a cup of coffee first, and we'll sit together. And you'll be amazed at how God will use you. He's just looking for somebody willing and available. Doesn't need you to be a scholar. He just needs you to be a witness. And again, you are the greatest authority on your life. You're the greatest expert on you. Nobody will ever be a bigger authority expert on you than you. That's what makes this so easy. Here's what happened in my life. Here's what Jesus did for me. Oh, can I share with you something that really helped me kind of build a spiritual foundation, a base in my life to get through challenging situations like this? Do you mind if I share that with you? You'll be amazed at the opportunities that God gives you when you make yourself available, when you make yourself willing to live out the greatest mission. This is your mission on earth, should you choose to accept it. For those of you that a moment ago prayed that prayer with me, I know there's those of you that as I was kind of teaching and training our church, you actually prayed the prayer. I'd love to know about it. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Today, before you leave, on the connection card, there's 2 boxes. One says I'm committing my life to Christ. One says I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. When you pray that prayer in your heart, would you let us know the decision that you made by checking one of those boxes? You built a spiritual base camp. And a base camp is simply there to begin your journey. That's what it's there for. You, You build the base camp so you can begin your journey. And your journey has some very obvious next steps, and we'd like to help you with it. So what we'll do is send you an email this week that gives you clear, obvious next steps. Before we leave, would you stand with me? And what I want to do is I want to pray over your three friends. So I want you to begin to, if you have them already in mind, or maybe a couple of them, I want you to begin to think of your three friends that you're going to write down, your homework, of who you're going to begin to pray for and who you're going to look for opportunities. And we're going to pray that God will give you opportunities, natural opportunities, to share Jesus with them. And you're going to see those opportunities this week, and I want you to be prepared. If you want to recreate your notes in your own format, recreate them. If you just want to keep the handout with you, keep the handout with you. Hopefully in a week or two, we'll have little cards for you to keep in your wallet. But God will give you those moments, and you'll know. You'll know. And I want to pray over it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, let us be a church that is on mission. Let us never forget why we are here. We are a city on a hill, a light. We are not just supposed to be visual Christians. We're supposed to be verbal Christians. People need to know the why, the mission that we're on. So God, I pray that you would create natural circumstances in our life, opportunities where we can share you with others in very loving ways, in very natural ways, God, as you give us wisdom, insight, words to say. God, I pray for our three friends that don't know you. There's many people, God, but we're gonna begin by focusing on three. We're not going to limit ourselves to those three. When other opportunities arrive, we're going to take it. But God, there's three people that we're going to pray for and we're going to focus on. And Lord, right now, I pray that you would create opportunities for us to share you with them, for them to begin the journey that we've begun, so that what's happened in our life can happen in their life. Let us never forget, God, this is why we're here. This is the most important thing of our life, to share you with others. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. But God, let us not keep it a secret. Lord, the same way if I had a brother, sister, somebody I loved who was dying of AIDS and I had the cure, I would do whatever it took to share that with them, to encourage them to take it so I could save their life. Give us that same sense of urgency and passion, because what we have is so much greater than that. Because sickness and disease only lasts a lifetime, but God, we're gonna live for eternity. And a lifetime is so short when you put it next to eternity. So God, give us an eternal focus. And let us understand that our life really does mean heaven or hell for somebody else. That there is eternal consequences at stake. And there are people that will only listen to our voice. They'll never listen to anyone else, but they'll respond to us. So let us accept the mission that you've given us. In the name of Jesus.